We don't have to like it, but we do have to accept the fact that we will face grief in our lives. We lose people we love to death, to moving, to ending of relationships. And grief can leave us rudderless, no clear place to turn. Our next guest offers some ideas on what to do in a small book of words and pictures called Tending Our Grief, A Guide for Your Journey. Jack Weens is an artist and a therapist living in the Ashland area. He'll be speaking about this tonight at 7 at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland and here right now. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
So, artist and counselor, is this the first time you get to really combine your talents in one set of pages?
It really is. I've kind of kept those two separate all my life, but I wanted to do something that did both, and I think this is working out okay so far.
Who's the book for, and why make the decision to create it?
It's for anybody that's experienced loss, and that can be anything, as you said, of the loss of a loved one to maybe moving away or changing jobs or anything like that, but... I think it works for probably older teens and adults, probably not younger than that, though. Mm-hmm. And I did it because I had gone through probably the worst grief in my life, the worst loss after a 42-year marriage ended a few years ago. And I found myself deep in grief like I'd never experienced before. And so I had my lessons to learn myself after counseling other people for many years in lots of different settings, including hospice and addictions treatment and all kinds of things. So it's one thing to tell people what to do. It's another to do it yourself, I found.
The book is a bit different, I think, from others I've seen about grief over the years. It's not a heavy-looking book that's filled with words of advice and ways to go about your daily stuff. I mean, there is that advice. Right. And ideas about where to turn. But it's roughly a 50-page book with lots of illustrations.
Right. That could seem a little flippant to some folks to do cartoons about grief, but I really feel like someone who's deep in grief is not going to pick up a 200-page book and wade through it, but they might flip through a book of cartoons and get some help very quickly, and that was my goal here.
You're right that grief is normal and natural, and I think we all know that until it happens to us. I mean, do we tend to think that our grief is different when we are feeling it?
I think so. I think it's such a disorienting experience. I think the most often used word of my clients when I was counseling folks was to describe it in terms of waves and to be flipped upside down by emotions that they hadn't experienced before and to feel just totally disoriented, like they're going crazy. So one of my main goals with the booklet is to validate that experience and say, you're not going crazy. This is normal stuff, but it's really weird. You know, it's very strange.
Is there any consistency or any predictability to the ways in which grief hits us and how those waves arrive? Is it pretty much the whatever we can handle?
I think a lot of it depends on whether it was sudden loss or anticipated loss, as with somebody with a terminal illness that takes, you know, maybe months or years to pass away. So if we're caught completely unaware, we may be in total denial for a while and stunned and in shock. And other times we may ease into it with our sadness and sorrow that comes, you know, full force eventually. But, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross identified those five stages of the dying folks. And those are present, the denial and the anger and the bargaining and depression and acceptance, but not necessarily in that order, which is sometimes upsetting to folks when they can't follow and track that. But it could happen that you're in those stages in different orders all in one day with acute grief.
So not necessarily a sequence. It's not a 1,
no,
2, 3, 4, 5.
No,
it
that's
could be
kind of misleading.
1, 5, 3, 2, 4.
That's yeah. Right, yeah.
Wow.
Pretty much the whole gamut of feelings I've experienced anyway.
So in the process of making Tending Our Grief a guide for your journey, did you do the drawings first? Did you do the word, or was the words first, or was everything coming at the same time?
A little bit of both. I had some pictures in my mind, certainly, of like the waves and the roller coaster, you know, of grief that's, you know, the emotional stuff. But I had an outline in my head too of the concepts that I thought needed to be addressed, and then the cartoons just came. They're kind of a natural process for me.
I want to point out these are not Mickey Mouse style cartoons. You know, they're quite representational of what human beings actually look like and that sort of thing. But it's, you know, there's a certain level of whimsy there.
Yeah, I tried to, you know, depict folks of different age and gender and race and to make it pretty universal. So I hope that is accomplished here.
Jack Weens is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a therapist and an artist. He's made a booklet with words and pictures called Tending Our Grief, A Guide for Your Journey. Questions and comments, welcome. 800-838-3760 on the phone. email address is jx@jeffnet.org. If we decide we're not ready for grief, don't want to deal with it right now, if we stuff it away, when it comes back, and I'm sure it's a when, not an if, does it come back bigger?
I think it accumulates, yeah. So as we experience loss through our lives, if we continue to just kind of stuff it down, then when the lid comes off hard, I think. So, yeah, a lot of confusion there when the grief is much more intense than fits the immediate loss. You kind of even is more disorienting and overwhelming sometimes.
What are some of the first steps you advocate in tending our grief? I mean, people can, there's lots of family around often when you lose someone or friends to support you. And then after a while, people go back to work, they get on with their lives, and you're left often alone.
Right. And, alone can be okay and sometimes necessary, but alone through the whole journey is really tough. So I would really encourage people to find their community, find their tribe of support where they can count on some folks that will be willing to hang in there through the long haul and just be there to listen, to sometimes do the practical things, walk the dog for you or wash dishes or whatever. But doing this alone is really tough, and I highly recommend connecting with somebody that feels safe, if not a group or a support group.
I was about to ask if you're a fan of support groups on the concept.
Sure, yeah. There's a timing on that, I think, that's kind of crucial. Sometimes people enter a support group too soon. They're not ready to really talk about it or hear other people's stories. So sometimes that's better a few months into it if it's a loss of a loved one or some intense loss like that. But it's always good to have somebody, a friend or a family member, to just talk to and to be able to bounce off your feelings and process it with them.
How does a grieving person gauge themselves? How do they know when it's time to do something like go into a support group? Or, I've heard the whole, wait 2 years before you sell your house or clean up deposits or things.
There's lots of little pat rules, and I don't kind of adhere to those too much because everyone's grief is different. But I think, if you find yourself locked in your house for days at a time and not eating or not sleeping or sleeping all the time or escaping into drugs or alcohol or eating or not eating, those kinds of things, then those are warning signs that you might need to seek some help, get out and connect with some folks.
All right. So you said make a place for grieving in the house? It's an interesting concept.
Yeah. I think, when my dad died many years ago, I found myself, I knew my tendency would be to just come back to work and get on with my life and not do my grieving. So I brought some of his belongings back, a billfold and his watch and some jewelry, and I put them out on the top of my dresser where I'd see them every morning when I got ready for work. And it just reminded me, you're grieving your father. Don't forget. Give yourself time and permission to do that. And just that simple act, I think, helped me be much more conscious about that grief and not to just stuff it away or deny it.
And was there a time months down the road when you thought, I think I can put these away now?
Yeah. There was, and they're in a little box. I still have them, but I don't need to have them out all the time.
You mentioned things can be different in sudden death versus long decline. I mean, is the grief felt differently in those cases if you've had a while to prepare for the loss and actually talk it over with the person you're about to lose?
Yeah. I think ultimately the loss of their presence is going to feel the same in that void, the vacancy where you're missing that person eventually, but the initial, for the sudden loss, I think we go through such a shock and we have to process that kind of, trauma feeling compared to when you can kind of ease into the reality. Because, all of it is about our mind accepting something we don't want to accept. So whether it's a sudden or slow process, it gets us eventually to that place of, I just miss this loved one and I want them back. And that's sad and that's sorrow. And that's our true, heart of grieving. But that initial punch in the gut or slow drain of our energy and, that's different at the beginning.
The visuals are quite evocative. There is an actual punch in the gut shown here, and then also waves of grief washing over people and turning them head over heels, but then also some waves that kind of wash over after a while. So some good imagery there. People are going to, it's not a steady process, it sounds like. There's some backsliding.
Yeah, that's, I think, the most disorienting thing about grief is the unpredictability of it. It's like you think you're in a rhythm with it. Maybe you've got three more waves to go, and that's just not the way it goes. You can't really expect it to be predictable. So,
a real quick guide to dealing with grief in Jack Ween's book, Tending Our Grief, A Guide for Your Journey. It's just about 50 pages and chock full of drawings. Jack Ween's did those himself. He's also a therapist, so multiple skills to bring to the table in Tending Our Grief. Jack Ween's will be at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland tonight at 7. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Thanks very much, Jeffrey.
Sure.